I invite you to take your copy of God's Word this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Our focus this morning is to continue our series that we started last week in looking at the songs of Christmas. And this morning we want to look at the song of the angel. And this morning I invite you to open the Word and look with me at Luke chapter 2. And the reason that we look at the Word and we open the Word is this. There is this truth that the psalmist recorded for us in Psalm 119 and verse 30. The unfolding of your words, the unfolding of your words brings light. And so this morning, our goal is to unfold the Word of God so that its light might work in our hearts and change our hearts. Would you join me in praying this morning before we read God's Word? Father, it's my responsibility now to help to unfold that Word. But Spirit, I pray that you would unfold the Word completely in our hearts. Make it plain, make it understandable, make it, Lord, real to us. Convict our hearts that need convicting. Encourage the hearts that need encouraging. Father, in these next moments, as we consider a very familiar story, may we forget the familiarity of it to hone in to see what you might have for us from your Word this morning. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Raise your hand this morning if you are all the people. This message is for you. It's for me. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This morning, real simply, we want to do four things in the time that we have. We want to consider the audience that got the message. We want to consider the message. We want to consider the song that was sung. And we want to consider the response of the shepherds. So let's go back up to verse 8 and let's consider the audience, the shepherds. You know, many times when we come to God's Word, we read it from a very Western point of view. We read it from our own cultural bias. We read it from an American point of view. We have no other way to read it but to read it as Americans. But I have to believe, and as we pointed out last week, as Luke was writing this to a man named Theophilus, a man who he was trying to convince that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, as he was writing it to him, he understood the significance of some of the things that I want to point out to us this morning here in this text. The first recipients for the message were shepherds. Now you and I, we think that's wonderful, shepherds, that's great. Isn't it God just uses shepherds in this story? Because he can pick shepherds, he could have picked carpenters, he could have picked pipe fitters, he could have picked accountants, lawyers, whatever. He picked shepherds because that's what God would pick. Well, there's more to it here. You see, The hills of Bethlehem were the home, of a very important thing to the people of Israel. They were the home of where the sheep for all the offerings that were made at the temple were raised. If you were from Bethlehem, it was just assumed. Just like if you're from Johnstown, it's assumed that you have a good football team in your town and you have a great band at your high school. That's something that's assumed about Johnstown anymore. It's the reputation. If you came from Bethlehem, it was assumed this about you. Oh, you're from the sheep country. You're from the sheep country. That's where they raise all the sheep. Well, these sheep weren't just, it wasn't just because it was a great place to raise sheep. It was because these sheep that were raised in Bethlehem were the ones that were used in the temple sacrifices. And they weren't just any sheep. These lambs were used daily for sacrifice, and they were the really special ones were set apart and they were used for holy days. There were thousands of lambs with many shepherds all over the hills of Bethlehem. Yeah, oh little town of Bethlehem, and we picture it as a sleepy little town. No, it was a stinky agricultural town. How many of you ever been around a sheep barn? They stink. And that's the setting for this. These men who were shepherds, they were shepherds not by choice. It had been handed down to them. These were men whose fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers all the way back to David were shepherds. After all, where was David a shepherd at? Bethlehem. They were trained to raise and to produce sheep that were spotless, without defect or injury, because that's what the law required for sacrifice, were sheep that were without defect and they were without injury. And to be eligible for sacrifice, a sheep, a baby lamb, had to be kept outdoors. It could never be put in a barn. It had to be kept outdoors for a whole year from the time of its birth. So I submit to you, if the lambs have to be kept outside for a year, where do the shepherds have to be? They have to be outside. And so to be a shepherd meant that you were kind of a manly man. You were an outdoorsman type. You were a rugged guy. And you stayed outside with your sheep and you protected them from all influences, wolves and other predators, and from people who would want to come and steal your sheep. These shepherds had an important task. These weren't men who were full of pretense or prestige. They were blue-collar types. These were men in the heritage of David who, you know, David, whenever he was confronted with a problem with Goliath, what did he do? He's like, hey, who's going to stand up to this guy? These were the kind of men that we're talking about here. And it's to these men, these blue-collar types, these guys who weren't highly educated, that God sends a messenger with the most important message that's ever been delivered by an angel. Imagine being on a quiet hillside. All you hear is the munching of sheep, because that's what sheep do, right? They eat, and then what comes in has to go out. They're bleeding, making all kinds of noise. There's maybe a crackling fire by you, and the only light that you see is the light from your fire, which you're trying to keep warm on a cool night. And then all of a sudden, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appears and a glory of the Lord shone round about them. Your night has just been seriously interrupted. The night that you had planned where you were going to sit by this fire and you were going to warm yourself up and you were hoping that the sheep, especially that one over there, Nellie, the one who's about ready to give birth, you're hoping that tonight's not the night she's giving birth because you just want to take a nap. And an angel appears. And his first words are probably really important ones. Fear not. Because what were the shepherds doing at that point? These manly men were shaking in their boots. And all of a sudden, their lives are about to change. And so the message is, don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. That word good news, where we get our English words good news, is a really interesting word. It's the same word that we get gospel from. It's the exact same word we get gospel from. And really what they were doing is they were preparing the way for the gospel with this news that they were about to share here. He says, I bring you good news of great joy. This news, and let's understand, when the gospel is proclaimed, when the gospel is shared, it always produces joy. Someone will always get joy when the gospel is preached and proclaimed. There are two types of people in this room this morning. There are people who know the joy of knowing and believing the gospel, and those who don't have that joy in their heart this morning. And so this message is going to produce great joy. But it's a universal message, do you see it? It's for all the people. It's for all the people. Now, I submit to you, if you were going to deliver news for all the people, even at this time frame, okay? You know, right at the change from BC to AD, if you were going to submit a message that you wanted to go to all the people, would you go to a suburb of Jerusalem and would you go out in the middle of the night and would you tell it to shepherds? No. Our God does things a little bit different, doesn't he? He does things a little bit differently. Today, we would schedule a press conference and we would get CNN and Fox News and all the other talking heads to be there and we'd just broadcast it, right? We'd set up a Periscope on Twitter and we'd do it that way. God chose some shepherds. Why? Because he's God, for one thing. But also because I think he knew how they would respond. But we'll get to that here in a little bit. The gospel brings joy. And the thing that strikes me is this. We live in a world where there is so little joy. And at the time of year right now when the word joy is used, how many of you have gotten Christmas cards with the word joy on them? And you go shopping in the mall and they have these pictures and these placards all over that say joy. And yet I walk around and I see the faces of people who are there shopping. There is no joy. There is no joy, which is instructive to us. Because there's nothing that this world can offer that will produce true joy like the gospel will produce. I would also submit to you that when you announce a world-changing message to shepherds, it's a pretty good indication that the message is for everybody. The message is for everybody. It's for you. It's for me. It's for rich. It's for poor. It's for the talented. It's for the untalented. It's for the famous. It's for the ordinary Joes. It's for the white, the black, the brown, and any shade other that you want to name. This message is for all the people. What is specifically the message? Well, it really wraps itself up in three names. You see it there in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem. Right now, this day, someone has been born. Somebody really important has been born. In England, when somebody really important is born, they send somebody out from the court who's dressed real fancy and they go, hear ye, hear ye. The hear ye is the angel right now. And he's saying to shepherds, hey, there's a really important person that's been born. Well, just who is this person? Well, he's described with three names. You see it there? First name, a savior, a deliverer. A deliverer has been born. This is the one that the Jews had been waiting for, the one who would come and deliver them. And I would submit to us all this morning, we all need to be delivered. Just like the Israelites needed delivered, just like the Jews needed delivered from Roman oppression, and that's what they were looking for, you and I and those people then, we need to be delivered from something far greater, and that is the tyranny of sin. Who will deliver us from the tyranny of sin that rules over us? Well, not only is he just a savior, but the angel goes on to say, who is Christ? Christ, the Greek word for Messiah, he is the Messiah. He is God's anointed one. This is the one that the prophets have been telling us about for centuries here. This is the one that Isaiah's talked about. This is the one that Jeremiah's talked about. This is the one that the prophet Malachi talked about. He is finally here. And the message is given to shepherds. This deliverer, this Messiah, And then there's a third name given, the Lord. The Lord, God Himself. Do you understand the ramifications of this message? Not only is the promised Messiah come, who the Bible said was going to be a man, but this is not just any ordinary man. This is the God-man. This is God Himself in the flesh, in Bethlehem, laying in a manger. Whoa! If you're a shepherd in the hill country of Bethlehem, that'll get your attention real quick. There's been nobody like that that's ever come to Bethlehem. Up to this point, Bethlehem's claim to fame was, we produce David. Now, that's a pretty good thing, right? But this one tops that one. God has come to earth as a baby, and He's right here in our town to be our deliverer, to deliver us from the rule and tyranny of sin, and to deliver us from hell. But it's interesting now how the angel goes on to further describe this baby. And I got to be honest with you, this week in my study, I found some stuff that just blew me away. I always struggled with verse 12. Why the details of verse 12? And it was always taught to me that, okay, this was the only baby in Bethlehem that would be wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger. That's why they told them that. But I think there's something far greater here. So this is the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. You and I may not grasp the significance of this, but those shepherds certainly did. You see, the newly born sacrificial lambs that they were in charge of raising there, there's something about lambs when they're first born. They tend to be very awkward. You ever seen a newborn lamb? They're very awkward, and sometimes when they're born, they tend to thrash around a little bit. And if a lamb thrashed around too much and it was too awkward, it might fall and cut itself or hurt itself, and then all of a sudden, it's not without blemish anymore, is it? You know what they did to the sacrificial lambs that were born to keep them from hurting themselves? Anyone want to take a guess? They swaddled them in swaddling cloths. Some of you are thinking with me right now, here He is, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of the world, born, and just like a sacrificial lamb, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Not so that He wouldn't hurt Himself, but so that He might be preserved to be the perfect Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You see, we learn from these historical Jewish writings that the priest, and there were priests that were usually present whenever these lambs were born, they had a very specific way of making sure that the lambs were delivered safely, and the priests themselves would wrap them in the swaddling cloths. The Lamb of God is now laying in a barn or a cave or whatever else you want to believe it is, okay? I'm not going to argue that point with you. But the Lamb of God is now here, swaddled in swaddling cloths, just like the sacrificial lambs would be done that would one day end up in Jerusalem. And this lamb, too, will go to Jerusalem, where He will offer His life and lay down His life for the sheep. The other interesting thing is that Bethlehem, the reason it gets its name is, it's known as the house of bread. I'm reminded that the bread that came down from heaven is now where? In the house of bread. But I want you to see this song. These shepherds now, they understand there's a baby that's wrapped the way that we wrap our lambs. And it's laying there in a manger in Bethlehem. And then as they're processing this, all of a sudden, verse 13, there's not just one angel, there are thousands of angels that show up. Now, use your divine imagination with me for a second. If one angel is scary, are a thousand even more scarier? If one angel has your attention, do thousands of angels have your attention? Do you suppose that they had the attention of the whole region? Okay, one of the most annoying things about the time around 4th of July is the idiots in the neighborhood who shoot off fireworks thinking that they're all pyrotechnicians. On the 4th of July, that's great, but on July 3rd and July 5th and July 7th and July 10th, it gets a little old. But it gets my attention. How much more would these angels get your attention? Notice their song. Verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. The theme of the song, it's a short song. It's a really short song. But the theme of the song is, God has come and he's bringing peace. God has come and he's bringing peace. Let's be honest. We live in a world that is anything but peaceful. Some of your homes this morning before you came were not peaceful. Some of your car rides here this morning were not peaceful. There's nation against nation. There's ethnicity against ethnicity. There's man versus women. There's husband versus wife. There's parents versus children. There's labor versus management. And I could go on and on. Some of you are like, you're describing my life right now. Probably the worst form of unrest in our world today is the unrest that's in our own hearts, because our hearts and souls are not at peace with God. And if we're honest, all the other unrest that's in our world, it doesn't have to do with whoever's in the White House and whatever what talking head says about that. You want to know where the unrest comes from in our world? It comes from our own hearts. Mankind itself is not at peace with God. But this one baby is sent for one mission, and that is to make peace with God for mankind. And that's the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, the message of Christmas is this. The message of Christmas is this. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came to be sacrificed on a cross. And that in dying in your place and dying in my place, we might have salvation, and not just being rescued from hell, but being saved from ourselves and saved from our guilt and ultimately having peace with God. That, my friends, is a message of hope. Mike referenced a song that was written during a time of turmoil this morning. Many of our Christmas carols, if you do research, came from times of turmoil. How many remember the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day? Written by who? Who's my literary expert? Who wrote that? Longfellow, very good. Gold star on your chart. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Do you know why he wrote it? It was written during the Civil War. Now, I know some of you, I think, might be old enough to remember that, but I'm not going to pick on you. But let's just think. During the Civil War, was there much peace on earth from an American perspective? Literally, families were being split apart, lining up North versus South and vice versa. Longfellow wrote this song, wrote the poem in response to the fact that his oldest son had just joined the Union soldiers. And he worried for his son. And he worried that his son was one day going to die. He didn't die. He got injured, almost died. But he was worried that his son was going to die for a cause that wasn't worth dying for, because there would never be peace on earth. In fact, one of the verses said this, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And if we're honest with ourselves, we could sing that song today, couldn't we? And if we're not careful, in despair, we could bow our heads and we could say there is no peace on earth, because hate is really strong. But I got news for you. Peace isn't found in a treaty. It's not found in doing meditation. It's not found in a bottle. Peace isn't found in a thing. It's found in a person, Jesus Christ. That's where peace is found. And that's the announcement here of the angels and the angel chorus as they're singing. Here is where peace is. Peace is coming from God to you in the form of this baby that's born in Bethlehem. Now quickly, I want you to see the response of the shepherds. I know that video was humorous, but at least when I watched it over and over, it made me think about this. What would it have been like to be one of those shepherds? What would that have been like? Would I have rushed to Bethlehem, or would I have been so petrified with fear? Like afraid of what I might find in Bethlehem. But notice what they do. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, I think there was one thing that they said before that, but this is divine imagination. I think they said, what just happened there? So when they get over the initial shock, they say this, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. They hurried. And they found exactly what God told them they would find. Their response is very helpful to us. It's instructive to us. The first thing is they obeyed. They went. They went. We don't know why they went. Maybe it was curiosity. Maybe the fact that they were afraid the angels might show up again if they didn't go. But they went. And what they did was they found out that the angels were right. They found out that God had kept his word, that it was every bit the same truth that the angels had said that God had told them to say. Because angels don't speak of their own mind. They only speak what God tells them to speak. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. How many of you like to watch infomercials? Come on, be honest. How many of you are closet QVC watchers? Some of you are not being truthful right now, because I know some of you do. The thing that gets me about QVC and infomercials is, you know, they just sell and they oversell and they oversell, but then what they do is they bring somebody on, like on the phone or somebody, oh, I've used that product for 20 years. My teeth are whiter than they've ever been. They really believe it, right? These shepherds really believed what they saw. How do you know that? Because they left there and they told everybody. They told everybody. Notice verse 17. They made known. That means they broadcast it. They didn't just do a little whisper campaign. They told everybody, you have got to go see this. You're not going to believe this. This is God in the flesh laying in a manger in our town. They made it known. And they told everything that had been told them concerning this child. It wasn't just that a baby was born. This was the deliverer, the Messiah, God himself in a manger in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling cloths. In verse 18, and all who heard it wondered. They all wondered. Well, of course they did. They had given firsthand testimony here of what they had seen. Mary, this is almost too much for her. She just stores all this up in her heart. But then verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The only way that they go back praising God and taking such delight in this is the fact that they had been changed by what they had just encountered. They had been changed by what they had just encountered. The shepherd's response is really helpful. Because I think you and I need to learn some lessons from the shepherd's response. We need to, one, see for ourselves that God's promise is sure and it's true. You need to be confronted with this fact that Christ came, born as a baby, as the God-man, as the Messiah, as the deliverer. First of all, you need to come to grips with this fact that you are a person who needs delivered. We all are people who need delivered. These shepherds knew they needed to deliver. No wonder they were so excited about this. The deliverer was there. They knew they needed to be delivered. Do you know that you need to be delivered this morning? It's not just Rome or government that has you oppressed. It's sin that has you oppressed this morning. It is a tyrant ruler, and it always wins until it encounters the power of Christ. And so I would invite you this morning to go to Bethlehem with me and look in the manger and see the God-man there, the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world, laying in a manger, born for you, born for me. Don't just stay at the manger, though. Believe what you see. Be like those shepherds and believe what you see. Child of God, can I say this to you this morning? See it again. Look at it again. Look at it with fresh eyes. God in the flesh to be your sacrificial lamb so that you now have peace with God. Does that make you just want to shout? Does that make you want to shout like those shepherds when they left that place? If it does, then you ought to be like the shepherds and broadcasting that news. If you're not the child of God this morning, can I say this to you in as plain of terms as possible? You are at war with God. But you can have peace with God just like that. He came so that you can have peace. He died the death that you and I all deserved. He came to be your deliverer. He came to be your savior so that you can have peace with God. And so that is the message of Christmas. It's cute to see the kids ring the bells. They look so cute. They're all dolled up. They'll never look that nice again. Parents understand that. But that's not the message of Christmas. It's great to have Christmas trees. It's great if you want to get your picture taken with Santa, all those traditions and things you do. It's great to have Christmas cookies. But the message of Christmas is this, and don't miss this. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world came to Bethlehem, the very place where the sacrificial lambs were prepared. And 33 years later, he will go to Jerusalem. And he will willingly lay down his life. He will be crucified on a cross. He will die. He will be buried and he will rise again. No other lamb got off the sacrifice before. But this lamb came out of the tomb, proving that he was more powerful than death and hell itself. And if you're the child of God, you can take joy in that this morning. And if you're not, you can have peace. I'm so glad you've joined us this morning. If we can be of any help to you, as Mike said, one of us will be in the hallway, one of us will be at 200. We would love to talk with you. Maybe you're not comfortable doing it today. Phone numbers are there in the bulletin. Call out, reach out to us. We would love to be a help to you. Would you stand with me and we'll be concluded with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we are grateful for the song of the angels. We're grateful for its message that we can have peace with you right here, right now, because of what Christ did, because you sent your son, Christ, to be born, and he lived a sinless life, and then he died in our place. Lord, we're thankful for the time that we've had to go back to Bethlehem this morning. May we not forget the words that you have written for us, Spirit, that we might ponder these words, even as Mary did. May we treasure them in our heart and think on them, we pray. Go with us as we go from here. Lord, we go back into the busyness of the season, but in all the business of the season, may we not lose sight of the fact that we have peace with God through what Christ has done. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.